Says Daf Yud Tes. We got to the very last line of Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara was quoting from the Mishnah the various types of inks that may not be used for writing the Megillah. And the Gemara says Sam. Sam is the first example that may not be used. What's Sam? Sam is Sama. It's a type of gold ink that cannot be used. Sikra is also listed in the Mishnah as a puzzle ink. Amar Rabba Bar Barchana Sikrasa Shema. It's called Sikrasa. What's the English for that? Red, some red ink. Red dye. Vermilion. Komos is possible as well. Komos is koma, which is some type of, it comes from the sap. Kankantom is a charta, that's a black ink. Deish kafe, that the shoemakers would use for the leather, that's also possible. Diftera is possible as well, that's its type of cloth, hide, that's maliach, that's been salted with kamiach, and they put some type of flour and water on top of it. Below office, it didn't have walnuts, that is, yeah? Walnuts, right? Okay. And that's possible. And niar is something that's mechaka, which is, that comes sometimes type of grass, like papyrus or something. Okay. So now the Gemara says on the top of Yutes Amun Aleph, Ad Shetehei Ksuva Ashurus has to be written in Hebrew. How do we know? Dechsev Kechsavim Lechizmanam, the way it was written then, the way it has to be written now. Al Sefer B'diyo V'chule has to be written on a Sefer. How do we know this? So the Gemara, and in ink as well. So Asya Ksiva Ksiva, there's a Gzer Shava. Ksiv Hach, it's written in the Pasuk about Tichtov Esther Hamalkan, she wrote it. Uksiv Hasim is written elsewhere. Pasuk Yirmiya, Vayomer Lehem Mabarach Mipiv Yikra Eli Eis Kol Adram Ha'Ela Vani Kosev Ala Sefer Badio. It says Basefer in Yirmiya that through the Gzer Shav of Ksiva Ksiva, so Megillah Esther has to be written also Basefer. Okay, now we begin the next Mishnah.
Well, it says
It was written in Lashon Kodesh.
When
Megillas Esther was initially written, it was written in Lashon Kodesh. Fine. So the Mishnah now says, Ben Ir Shehalach Lekrach. Now we take this slow. Ben Ir is a person who's supposed to read on the 14th, and he goes to Krach, a walled city that they're supposed to read on the 15th, or vice versa. Ben Krach, Shalach Le'ir, a guy from the 15th goes to a city that reads on the 14th. Sim Asin Lach Solim Komo, if he plans to go back to his home. So Kore Kim Komo, he's a guy traveling, he plans on being home on the 15th. He's from a walled city, so he reads on the 15th, even though he might be in another place on the 14th. And so, the other thing as well, the 14th guy always reads, if he's planning on going back, he reads like the way where he comes from. Vim Lav, if he doesn't plan on going back. So then Kari Mahin, then he has to read along with the place that he's found in now. Umehechan Kari, different topic now. For what point does a person have to read the Megillah and Adam as a Megillah Vyote Bayi Dechavaso? How much of the Megillah do you have to read? So Rabbi Meir Omer Kula, that's how he passed. You have to read the entire Megillah's Esther to be Yotze. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer Me'ish Yehudi from that point on, and Rabbi Yossi Omer Me'achar Hadvim Ha'ela only from that point and on. The Gemara is going to explain that machlokas on the bottom here. The Gemara says, in light of the first part of the mission here about the travelers, the Ben Ir and the Ben Krach Le'ir, so Amar Rava says, Lo Shanu Ela She'asir Lachzer Bilele Yudalid. This is only true referring to the Ben Krach, the guy who's from, let's call him from Yushalayim, who's supposed to read on the 15th. So he travels to Tel Aviv, which reads on the 14th. So if he, it's only true that he reads with Yushalayim if he plans on going back, according to Rashi, before sunrise. So the 14th, at Leil Yudalid, he's in Tel Aviv. He plans on traveling back that night to Yushalayim, so he'll be there later on the 14th in Yushalayim, so he does not have to read in Tel Aviv. But if he stays, he plans on staying overnight and staying for sunrise, according to Rashi's understanding, so then he would have to read with Tel Aviv, both Balayla and Bayom. It all depends where he's going to be Bayom, according to Rashi. We spoke about this on Sunday, because according to Rashi, the Iker Kriya is Bayom. It follows wherever you are during the daytime. Rambam understands differently. Rambam holds all, it goes based on the Laila, where you are at night, because Rambam holds that the Iker reading is Balaila. So that's Machlokas Rashi, Rambam. Aval, Ein Asid, Lachzer B'Leilei Arba'Asar. If he does not plan on going back that night, he plans on sleeping over in Tel Aviv the 14th, then he is Kore Imahem, he reads on the 14th, even though he comes from Yerushalayim. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Mina Amina, how do you know this halacha to be the case? Dechsev, the Pasuk says, Akein HaYehudim HaPrazim, the Jews who live in the unwalled cities, HaYoshrim HaBaya Prazos, who live in the unwalled cities. So, Michti, let's understand the Pasuk for a moment. Ksiv HaYehudim HaPrazim. So then, Lamali Lemichtav HaYoshrim HaBaya Prazos. If they're called the non-walled city dwellers, so of course that means they live in the non-walled cities. So why do they repeat that same word? The Gemara says, Hakamash Malan, the Paris Ben Yomo Nikaparos. A guy who's living there just for one day, he's called a person living in a non-walled city. That's referring to a person from Yerushalayim who's spending the night in Tel Aviv. He's called a Ben Yomo, he's called a Paris for that day. So the Gemara says, Ashkechan Paris. So we have a pasuk that tells me a person spending one day in an unwalled city is part of that city. But what about Mokef Minol? And how do you know a guy who's in a walled city, for one day, he's part of Yerushalayim for that one day? Disvarhu, it makes sense. Meet the Paruz Ben Yomo, Kari Paruz. From the fact that we call a guy living in an unwalled city just for one day, he's still considered a Ben Paruz. So then certainly a person who's going to be Mukaf, Ben Yomo, Kari Mukaf. A guy who's in a walled city for the one day, he'll be considered a Ben Yomo, and he would have to read like Yerushalayim. Comes along Rava, another statement about traveling. Vama Rava, Ben Kfar Shalach Le'ir, a Ben Kfar, who already read B'Yom HaKnisa. He read on the 11th, 12th, or 13th, whenever Yom HaKnisa was, he was Yotzi Eschiv. Then he goes back home to the village. Then he wants to come back, let's say on Wednesday. Wednesday, let's say, is the 14th. Now he already read on the 12th, Monday the 12th. He already fulfilled his obligation. But for he had to go for business or for some other reason, he went back to the big city on Wednesday, and they're reading, they're celebrating Purim. So, says Rava, Ben Kfar, even though he's already been Yotzei, Shehalach Le'ir, he goes back to the city, Ben Kachu Ben Kach, Korei Imahim. He has to read along with the city. What does Ben Kach mean? Says Rashi, it means Ben Kachu Ben Kach, Afilu Asir Lachzer Latzeis Misham Kod Mayom, Korei Imahim Balayla. He's there Tuesday night, going into Leil Revi. He's there, that's a firm night. He plans on going back a couple hours later. So says the Gemara, you have to read with the city on the 14th. What's the reason for this? Didn't he already get the chiyuv in on the 12th, Yom HaKnisa? The Gemara explained a very simple reason. My taima, hai ki b'nei ha'ir by the mikre. Really, mikra din, we know that the b'nei kfarim have to read on the 14th, like everybody else has to read on the 14th. But the Rabbanan hu de'akilu al kfarim, there was a special kula that Rabbanan provided the kfarim with, we're going to tweak this later on. We already tweaked it, I guess, once before. But because they provide food and water to the brothers in the big city, so they had a special kula. They don't have to schlep in so many times during the week. So the Gemara says, "Hani mile ki isa beduchte." They only have this kula if they're staying home in the kfarim on Purim. About ki isa beir, if they happen to be spending Purim in the big cities, then ki b'nei ha'ir by the mikra, they have to read like the b'nei ha'ir. There's a very subtle machlokas here in Rashi and Tosus here to understand this idea. It's a general question when it comes to the b'nei kfarim. When we say that they can read on Yom HaKnisa, is that really just the kula? Or no, that's mi'ikra din. Their day to read is Yom HaKnisa. So the simple reading of the Gemara here and Rashi's understanding is that's just a kula. The real mikra din is to read on Yud Dalet. It is a special kula. But if they're going to be on the big cities, beyond Yud Dalet, they have to read Yud Dalet. But really the ikra chiv is Yud Dalet. But Tosas understands, and it's a very subtle point, I saw this in a Sefer, that he says no. Their real chiv is on Yom HaKnisa, and they already fulfilled their chiv there. So why are they reading it again on Yud Dalet if they happen to be in the big city? So look at Tosos Diramaschil Ben Kfar, the very last line. He gets a very subtle point. He says, because Kivne, the last line of Tosos, Kivne Ha'ir Afa Pisha Karo Kvar. Because now they become a city dweller that day. As a Ben Kfar, the Chiv to read is Yom Kanisa. But now they're also a Bnei Ha'ir because they're spending the night, or at least a part of the night, they're spending in the city. So now they have a new Chiv, an independent Chiv from what they already fulfilled. So they learn from this Tosos that the day for the Kfarim is really Yom HaKnisa. That's the Iker day. And it's not simply a Kula. It was started off as a Kula, but it became a Chiyav on Yom HaKnisa. Again, a subtle point, a subtle machlokas between Rashi and Tosos. Yeah.
How can you be able to hear
That's Tosa. I didn't skip that line, but Tosa asked the question: how can you fulfill the chiyuv two times? That's what his question is, and he says because no different than if I'm, let's say, in outside Yerushalayim, Yudal, I read the Megillah. If I go to Yerushalayim, I plan staying over Leil Tezvav. I have a new chiyuv. I become part of that city for that day. Okay, so Gemara asks the question now. Eisive Abai. Abai asks the question: Ben Krach Shehalach Leir, Ben Kachu Ben Kach. Ben Krach, a person from a Krach, we said, was a walled city. So a guy from Yerushalayim. He travels now to Tel Aviv. Ben Kach, Kore Kimikomo. He reads according to his makom, according to Yerushalayim. So Sakadaita Chamina. So Ben Krach, Sakadaita Chamina. Be'im Asalachzor Talya Milsa. So Gemara says, wait a second. It's Tali on the Ben Krach, Kimikomo, based on where he comes from. It's Tali on how he travels. Not based on where it comes from. We said above again that how do we know what day he should read? It depends. Does he plan on returning home or does he not plan on returning home? But here the Gemara says he's Kori Kimkomo regardless across the board. So the Gemara says El Alav Ben Kfar. It must be referring to a Ben Kfar. Then a Ben Kfar reads Kimkomo and he does not have to repeat the reading again. So the Gemara says no, that's not a proof here. Lav Tute Metartis. Tani Kari Imahim. We read there's a mistake in this Brisa. So again, Lav Taruti Mitartis, do we not already change something in Brisa? So once we change it from Ben Krach to Ben Kvar, that allows us to change the words of Kimkomo to Kari Imahim. So there's something, again, a lot of things wrong with this Brisa, so therefore we can't bring it as any rayas, any proofs, any kashas, and it's pretty much thrown out the window. And the halacha still stands that when a Ben Kvar comes back to the big city, he would have to read yet a second time. The Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Mehechan Kore Adam Es Megillah. So where does a person, what does a person have to read from the Megillah to be Yotzei? So we had a three-way machlokas in the Mishnah. Either Rabbi Meir holds Kula, Rabbi Huda holds from Me'ish Yehudi, and Rabbi Yossi held from Me'achar HaDvarim Ha'edlas. The Gemara explains, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Mibi Laila HaHu, you could read. That's a fourth opinion. From that point on, you could be Yotzei. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, V'chulan Mikra Echa Darshu. All four Tanaim hold, and they learn the same pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vatichdov Esther Hamalka uMordechai Yehudi es kol tokef." They wrote the entire story. So, what's the tokef? The story of what? Man Damar Kula, the one who requires the entire Megillah to be read, Rabbi Meir, tokvel sheAchashverosh. From the first time we're introduced to the very first pasuk, "Vahi b'me Achashverosh," you have to read the entire story of Achashverosh from beginning to end. Man that Damar, the one holds Me'ish Yehudi, who is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Tokaif means Tokvo Shel Mordechai, the whole story of Mordechai. So once we're introduced to Ish Yehudi, from that point until the end. Uman that Damar Me'achar de Me'ela, when we're first introduced to Haman, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Tokaif means Tokvo Shel Haman, from once we're introduced to him until the end. And finally, Rashbi's opinion is Man Damar Mi'bi Laila Hahu, Tokvo Shel Nes, that's when the Nes begins. So that's from that point on until the end is what you have to read to be Yotze. So that's all according to Rabbi Yochanan that the pasuk is Vatichtov Esther is the source of this machlokas. But Rav Huna Amar Mehacha, he says no. The source of the machlokas is the following pasuk. It says Ma Ro Akacha Uma Higia Aleim. So what's going on? So this pasuk, the whole pasuk says, I'm reading the pasuk on the side here. Al Kain Karol Yamim Ha'ela, you should refer to these days. The pasuk says Perm Al Shem Hapur Al Kain Al Kol Divrei Ha'igeres Hazos. To describe in this letter, referring to Megillas Esther, Ma Ro Akacha, what they saw on this matter, Umahagi Aleim, and what they received in return. So, what's the understanding of this pasuk of Ma Ro Akacha, Umahagi Aleim? So, Man Damar Kula, the one who requires, namely Rabbi Meir, who requires reading the entire Megillas Esther, he says, Ma Ro Achashverosh, what did Achashverosh see? Shenishtamish Bekalim Shah Beis HaMikdash, what did he see that he wanted to use the Kalim? Akacha, Mishum, on this, for what was the reason? Akacha, Mishum dechashiv shivim shanim v'lo iparki. We saw this early in the first parak, that since 70 years of Gullus passed, and he saw that Klai Yisrael wasn't redeemed, he thought they were done forever, he can now take out and use the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. And what does the pasuk mean? Mahi gilem, what happened? The katavashi, as a punishment, he ended up killing his own wife. That's all according to Rabbi Meir. Man damar mi Yehudi, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says you have to read only from Ish Yehudi and on, he says ma ra means ma ra Mordechai. What did Mordechai see? Did ikne b'Haman that he was jealous with Haman? Al kacha d'shave nafshe avodah zara. He was so upset and angry at Haman because he made himself into a avodah zara. And what does it mean? Ma hagi alem? What happened to him? This rachesh nisa that he experienced a nace on his behalf. Next, the third opinion, Man Damar Me'achar Dvarm Ha'ela, that's Rabbi Yossi from the introduction of Haman. So he understands this pasuk to mean, Ma Ra Haman, what did Haman see? Sheniskane Bechol HaYehudim, that he was jealous from all the Yehudim. Akacha Mishum De Mordechai Lo Yichrav Lo Yishtachave, because Mordechai didn't bow down, so he got jealous and so angry and upset at all the Jews. So what happened? That he and all his sons were hanged on the tree. And the fourth and final understanding, Rashbi, is man damer mi belay lahu. So what does this mean? Ma ra Achashverosh lahavi es sefer hazichronos. What brought about Achashverosh? Why did he want to start reading his storybooks? Al kacha, because of this. What was the kacha? The zimnasa esti lahaman b'haday, that he started to wonder and get jealous and upset why had Haman been invited to the party with Esther. So that kept him up all night, and that led to reading the Sefer HaZichronos. So ma agiel ahim, so what happened? The Yisrachesh Nitzan, that led to the Nesa Purim. So Amir Reb Chalba, Amir Rav Chama, Bar Gurya, Amir Rav Halacha, Kedivrei HaOmer Kula, we paskin that you have to read the entire Megillah. V'afil l'man damar mishihudi, even the one who holds that mishihudi would be sufficient, he would agree, tzricha shetek suva, Kula, that the entire Megillah must be read, rather written in front of you, even though you're only reading part of it. Okay. Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Chalbo, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri, Amar Rav Megillah, Nikres Sefer, V'Nikres Igeres. There are two psukim in the Megillah. One calls it a Sefer, like a Sefer Tanakh, and the other one calls it a letter. So why? Nikres Sefer, it's called the Sefer, Shim Tafra Bechute Pishon Psula. If you use Pishon for the sewing together the parchment, that's possible, just like for a Sefer of Sefer Torah, or a Sefer Tanakh, it'd be possible. It's possible to be used for Megillah as well. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Makos that tells you it's possible for a Sefer Torah. But it's Nikres Igeres, it's called a letter in that Shim Hitil Bashlosha Chute Gidin Ksher. If you use just three, you sew it, just three stitches, that's Ksher. Well, for a Sefer Torah, it wouldn't be kosher. Why not? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, actually, one more line in Gemara. Sorry, Amar Rav Nachman, Ubilvad Shehu Mishulashim. When you have these three stitches in the Megillah, they have to be evenly split. So look at Rashi writes. Rashi says, Shehu Mishulashim, Shehei Meirosh HaTafar Ad Makom Tfiras Agid, Kimimanu, Varegia
So if you have three stitches, so each of the breaks have to be even. You have to break it up evenly from the top. The top is going to be loose. Not till the first stitch has to be equal to the stitch to the next stitch, and then from the stitch to the bottom. Again, if you have a Megillah, usually they're pretty loose at the bottom where there's no stitch. But it has to be the space is almost exactly equal. Now, interesting, look at Tosis for a second. Dibur Maskil Uvavad Sheyu Mishulashim. He quotes Shita Rashi, go down a few lines in Tosafot where he writes, V'hachi nami mashra b'makos. The Gemara Makos indicates the same thing. It says, Gavi ari miklat. The kamar u'shloshesh sheyehei mishuloshim midarom lecheron kimecheron l'shchem mishchem lekadesh mekadesh letzafon. Sh'mamina di mishuloshim mashra hachi. So what it means is, when it comes to, we had a total of how many ari miklat were there? Six ari miklat, 42 ari migrash. So the six ari miklat, three were in Eivar Yarden, three were in Eretz Yisrael proper. So those three, the Gemara says, have to be evenly split from the north to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, and then to south. The spaces in between have to be equidistant, just like here by the Gidin for the Megillas Est. Okay, the Gemara now says, where are we? Last three lines of the Amud here, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Hakari haMegillah aksuva ben aksuvim lo yatsa. Person reads a Megillah, let's say a whole Tanakh, where the whole thing's in a scroll. It's all put together, and the Megillah is part of the Sifrei Tanakh. One is not Yotze. And the reason why you're not Yotze, look what Rashi writes six lines up. The Be'inan Igeres Lasma has to be an independent letter. The Mifarsim Nisa Tve, when it's as a letter, it reminds everybody of the miracle. But if it's sandwiched between all the other Sifrei Tanakh, it's not noticeable and won't generate a Pirsume Nisa. So Amar Rava, Rava says, last two lines now, Lo Amrin Ella Dilo Mechasu Miyasri. It's only true if the top and bottom margins are exactly the same. But Aval Mechasu Miyasri, if it's either shorter than the other ones, or longer than the other Sifrei Tanakh, Purti, even a little bit, less Lemba, there is no concern, and it would generate a Pirsume Nisa. Mar now says, last line, Levi Bar Shmuel have a Kakari Kamei Dev Yehuda b'Megillah HaKsuva that was written Bein HaKsuvim. So it was written between the Ksuvim and he was reading it. So he says to him, he says, Amar Lei Hare Amru, we have a Halacha HaKari b'Megillah HaKsuva Bein HaKsuvim Lo Yotze, you're not Yotze. So he explains to him, Amar Rabbi Chir Ba'aba Amar Rabbi Yochan HaKari b'Megillah HaKsuva Bein HaKsuvim Lo Yotze U'machalo Amoch, and he hit him on the head, or on his own head perhaps, Bitsibur Shano. That was only true with a Tsibur, where's that element of Pirsume Nisa that you have to have it noticeable. But if a guy is reading Biachidus, which then by definition means there's no Pirsume Nisa, so then you would be Yotze the Mikra Kriyas Megillah from having a Megillah that's sandwiched in between the other Sifrei Tanakh. Okay, the Gemara now says another statement of Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shir HaTefer Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. The space of the stitches on the Sefer Torah is a Masorah we have from Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Look at Rashi, what that means. Shir HaTefer, two lines down. Kishitofer Yiros HaShel Sefer Torah. When you sew together the different parchments, L'Chabram Yachem, to connect them, Mishayarin B'Tefer L'Mala Ulamata. It's never the top line. You want a little space. And the reason is because when they do Hagbah and Galila, you don't want it to rip. You have to have some room for it to maneuver. But if it's too tight, and you pull a little bit, it's going to tear. So it needs to be some room for it to, some wiggle room. So that idea of having a little space, he says, is halacha, the Moshe Mesinai. So then the Gemara says, Umachala Mocha, then he hits himself on the head. I don't know who's hitting who, but someone's hitting him on the head. V'lo Amru, Ela Kadesh Lo Yikare. No, no. That's not halacha, Moshe Mesinai. It's not a strict Masorah. That's for a Svarla. I get to explain the reason for this. It's a Takanas Chachamim. So Rashi explains here that Amachala Amocha, this is the four lines down, La'achash Amro, after he said there was Halacha Moshe Mesinai, Hika Amocha, he hit himself in the head, Klomer Chazar Vesasi, he retracted and changed his words, and Amar Lav Halacha Moshe Mesinai, who? Ela Chachamim to Amru. This is a din to Chachamim that shouldn't rip, like I just explained, because if it's too tight on top, and the guy there's a big hog, but it might tear the Yerios, so that's why I need the space on top, but not because of Halacha Moshe Mesinai, rather because of a Takanas Chacham. Now, Tosis points out, look what Tosis writes on the top here, Shira has tefer halacha Moshe Mesinai, nira de'af b'megillah u'bishar svarim be'inan shira tefer, kevin de'taima have kadesh lo ikareya. So it's not so clear necessarily, because when you don't do a hagba for Nevi'im, you don't do hagba for Megillah, so there shouldn't be so much of a concern. So maybe the reason isn't only just hagba, maybe the concern is just simply when you roll it over, that might cause some tear. So I thought the reason was doing a hagba, but maybe I'm wrong. Okay. Fine. The Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ilmalei nishtayer b'mara she'amad b'moshev Eliyahu kimalei nekev machat sedekis lohayu yuchol na'amod b'pnei ha'ora. So the cave that Moshe Beno was in, he was hiding behind when HaKadosh Baruch Hu had passed in front of him. And Eliyahu Navi was also in that same cave, HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed in front. Had there been a slightly larger crack, they wouldn't be able to stand because of the great light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shneamar, the Pasuk tells us, of course, that no one's able to look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it says, Ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai, a person can't see me and live. So if that crack was even at the size of a needle, that would Moshe and Eliyahu could not have stood. Now it's interesting, Lashon they would lose. It says use. It says lo ayu yichol la'amod. It should say they wouldn't be able to live. So I'm not sure why I use that Lashon. If the pasuk says ha'adam v'chai, we know Eliyahu Navi never died. Moshe Benu supposedly did die, but I'm not sure.
He didn't die
at that moment. Maybe. So it should have said, but then it's not, the pasuk's not really proving the point though. The Gemara says he wouldn't be able to stand. The Pasuk says, though, if someone who sees him won't live. So I'm not sure, it doesn't seem so congruent. Just take a quick look here. I'm not sure. Okay. Fine. The Gemara now says, Ami Rabbi Yechir Ba'aba, Ami Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'idich Siv, what does it mean in the Pasuk? Va'aleyem, Kechol hadvar masher diber Hashem imachem bahar. All those things I spoke to you with you on the mountain. What's all these hadvarim? What's kechol hadvarim? It's a very, very important drasha here. Melamed shehira HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shehira Moshe diktuke Torah. All the various diktukim Torah, which Rashi says, ribuyim, the essen, what essen comes to include, what the word gam comes to include, and even the mutim, that which is being excluded from the word ach and rak. He also taught him diktuke sofrim, which Rashi explains are diktuke achornim, imlashim, mishas, rishonim, other diukim that others are going to make later on in history. Umasha sofrim, asidin, lechadesh, and later on, what great gedolim are going to mechadesh from the Torah. Umay nihu, mikra megillah. The even mikra megillah was taught to Moshe ben Hila, was taught every single thing. So this is a very, very important gemara when it comes to the discussion of what did Moshe Rabbeinu actually know at Kabbalah Sator. Did he know everything or did he not? So it gets into a big concept of Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim as well, that even though there's a machlokes, it's all true because it was all said Moshe Rabbeinu. So some said that Moshe Rabbeinu was taught every single halacha, every single machlokes, every single drasha, like this gemara says, every single thing that will possibly be taught, Moshe Rabbeinu knew. But so that's a kashi. That's a god to Gemara. So it could be something else. He didn't know Kabbalah yet. It was Kabbalah. Rekiva was taught Kabbalah. Kabbalah, we were taught later on. Kabbalah was taught as later generations, more of it was revealed. That's one explanation. But a simple understanding is that there's a we can't really appreciate what that Gemara means in Menachos.
He said that. But it says over there that Rekiva says that it was
Wolf
from
Mount Moshe. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I'm saying so. Wasn't
it? It's an agad to Gemara. So that agad to Gemara, we don't fully appreciate what the Gemara means. So anyway, so the other approach is the Ritva. The Ritva and Eirvin says that he wasn't taught everything. He was taught the principles, how to darshan the Torah. He was taught the Yud Gimel Midos Shatorah Nidreshes Behem, and he passed on those as well. So as long as the later Chachamim used those same principles, it's considered a Halacha Moshe Mesinai, but not that Moshe Rabbeinu knew every single thing, they were just using the same principles that he used. Those are the two basic understandings of what Moshe Rabbeinu actually knew at the time, and that would then explain the Gemara and the Menachos. He didn't know everything, and he didn't know what Rabbi Kiva was darshaning either. That was fine. That's a big machlokas. Now, again, it gets involved in the conversation. What does it mean, Elu, ve'elu, diril kumchayim? But not for now. Okay, the mission now says, Hakol, ksherim, likros, es ha-megillah. Everybody is able to read the Megillah, with the exception of chutz, mecheresh, shote, v'katam. These three individuals may not read the Megillah. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan, he permits a katan to read the Megillah. So now the Gemara is going to go into a discussion. It's a bit of a confusing discussion. It comes up in Gemara Brachos as well. It's a bit confusing, but we'll try to take it slowly. So Gemara says, Man Tana Cheresh Dieved Namilo. Who's the one who holds that even B'dieved, if a Cheresh, if a person who's deaf, reads the Megillah, B'dieved, it's still not good. Who doesn't allow Cheresh to lane? So Amar Rav Masna, this must be Rabbi Yossi. The Tzan, the Mishnah tells us, Hakori es Hashma Loishmil Azno Yata. A guy says Shema quietly to himself, he doesn't hear the words he's saying, he's Yotze, that's the Tanakama. Meaning a Cheresh could also say Shema, and be Yotze, he doesn't have to hear the words. But Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo Yotze, not Yotze, that just like a Cheresh can say Shema, so too a Cheresh cannot read the Megillah. So the Gemara says, Umimayde Rabbi Yossi, how do you know Rabbi Yossi is the author of a Mishnah? Udieved Namilo, that even B'dieved, a Cheresh is not Yotze. Dilma Rabbi Yehudahi, V'lecharchila Hudilo. Maybe Rabbi Huda is the author. I mean, our Mishnah says that a Cheresh L'chachila can't read the Megillah. But maybe B'dieved, if he read it, he'd be Yotze. And Rabbi Huda is the one who holds that a Cheresh can read B'yotze B'dieved. So maybe Rabbi Huda authored the Mishnah. So the Gemara says you can't think Rabbi Huda is the author. Lo sakadaitach, dikatani Cheresh dumi deshote. The fact that they couple Cheresh together with the other ones that are possible. So ma shote v'katan, everybody agrees a shote or a katan that reads a Megillah, everybody agrees b'dieved nami lo, it doesn't work b'dieved. So too, by comparison, af cheresh, d'eved nami lo. So too, we're talking about a cheresh that even b'dieved, if he reads, he's not yotze. That must be the shita Rabbi Yossi, who b'dieved, a cheresh isn't yotze shema, nor is he yotze mikra Megillah. So Gemara says, why is that true? Just because you group them together doesn't mean they have the same halachas. Dilma ha-kadisa. Maybe Shoten Katan, you're not Yotze B'dieved, but maybe Cheresh, you are Yotze B'dieved. That's not right, the fact that they're coupled together. So the Gemara says, the reason why Rabbi Yehuda can't be the author of the Mishnah is because look at the Seifa. Mida Katani Seifa, that Rabbi Yehuda Mach Shibakatan, that certainly indicates Michlal,
Dereisha lav Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is not the author of the Mishnah. It's a, some other opinion, namely Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says that's not a proof either. Just because the Sefer is Rabbi Yehuda doesn't mean the Reisha cannot be Rabbi Yehuda. Dilma kula Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe the whole entire Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. How could that be? Mitami. The Reisha says the Psula, the Sefer l'Ksheira. Then they're associated with each other. How can you say Rabbi Yehuda authored both the Reisha and the Sefer when they're saying the opposite things? That the Reisha says a Katan cannot read, and the Sefer says that Katan can read. So the Gemara says, no. Dilma kula Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda authored the entire Mishnah, and there's trei gavne katan. There are two types of katanim, katanila. V'chasur mechzer, and there's something missing in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah should read as follows now. Hachi katani. We're rereading the Mishnah. Hakol, k'shem l'kros is a Megillah. Everyone can read the Megillah. Chutz mecheir sheshot v'katan. Bamad v'amurim, which type of katan may not? A katan shelo agi l'chinuch. That's the katan that can't read. Aval, but a katan shegi l'chinuch. Then afilu l'chachila, he's allowed to read. Because Rabbi Yehuda in general holds, she Rabbi Yehuda Omer or Machshir, b'katan. So at this stage, we're assuming Rabbi Yehuda authored the Mishnah, and he says only l'chachila a cheresh cannot read, but b'dieved, we would allow him to be yotze. Say again that.
He's a smart katan, if he knows how to read, he's not
looking. Exactly. How do you have a case where Shelo Agi L'Chinuch, who knows how to read? It's a good question. So what would the definition of a Hegila Chinuch be in this context? Usually, Hegila Chinuch is defined by the context of the mitzvah. So a child wearing tittis, if he knows how to do natifa, so he's chayv in tittis. And if he knows how to shake the lulav, so he's able to shake it. So you would think for Megillah, if he knows how to do a kriya, so then Memele, he's a Hegila Chinuch. So how do you have a kid who's Shelo Hegila Chinuch that knows how to read?
I don't understand what he's reading, right? I mean, person
Yeah, Yeah, good question. Let me take a look here. What?
It says that he knows how to read some psukim, but not all of it.
Uh-huh.
He may know how to read a small portion of the Megillah, but is as yet unable to read the entire Megillah. Thus, he has not yet attained the, quote, training age and cannot fulfill the obligation for the listeners, even if he reads only those psukim that he knows.
Uh-huh. It's a very small window.
He reads part of the Megillah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Knows how to read some psukim, the first
right.
First pasuk or something, and then a real Balkari takes over after that.
Right. So those psukim,
he would be okay because he could read it even though if he doesn't know the whole
Megillah. Right. Okay, fine. Let's finish up. Okay, very good. Fine. So the Gemara now says we're at the end, so suggesting that Rabbi Yehuda might be the author. So the Gemara says Ella, ha, where we go right now. So why do we feel so compelled that the Mishnah was written by Rabbi Yehuda, and we're saying that b'dieved the cheresh could be yotze? So ella hadatani Rabbi Yehuda b'rei de Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi cheresh hamedaber v'eino shemeya tarim l'chachila. A cheresh who is able to speak but cannot hear, he's able to do tshuma l'chachila. Because he could say the bracha of Tshuma, even though bracha is not really me'akev. There's a Rashi in brachas, which seems to indicate that bracha, that birchas and mitzvahs are deraisa, and it's me'akev. We're not assuming that way, but still, we want someone who could say the bracha to do Tshuma. So the cheresh is able to lichadchila say the bracha on Tshuma. So money, who holds that way? E Rabbi Yehuda, d'yevet in lichadchila lo. Can't be Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda only allows a cheresh to perform mitzvahs on a b'dieved level, but he doesn't lechachila allow a cheresh to do a mitzvah like truma or shema or mikra megillah. And this can't be e Rabbi Yossi d'yeved namilo. Rabbi Yossi doesn't allow b'dieved to work either. So who is the one who holds this mission truma that even lechachila we allow cheresh to perform mitzvahs like this? Ela mai must be Rabbi Yehuda of afil lechachila. We only have two people. It's either Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi doesn't allow anything, so we're throwing him out the window right now. So Rabbi Yehuda, up until now, we've been assuming that he only allows b'dieved a cheresh to be yotze. But now we have this random brisa, which we can't find an author. So now we're going to try to tweak Rabbi Yehuda, and he says no. Even lechachila, he allows a cheresh to read.
So now we have Rabbi Yehuda l'chachila, yes, and Rabbi Yossi, even b'diavad, it doesn't work. So then the Gemara asks, Ella hadatani, the Braisa, which says, lo yivarech adam b'birkas ha'mazon b'libo, a person shouldn't say benching in his mind, by heart, quietly, but in birich yotza, but b'diavad it works. So this is an example, with l'chachila, you have to hear, but b'diavad, you're Yosef, you didn't. So we don't have a person to fit into this category right now. Because right now we said that Rabbi Yossi never allows you to be Yosef if you don't hear the words. And Rabbi Yehuda says, l'chachila you're allowed to, even if you know you're not going to say the words. So who's this middle opinion that says, l'chachila you should hear the words, but b'diavad you're Yosef if you didn't hear the words? Money. It's lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yehuda, he permits afil l'chachila. And the mission, the b'rais about Birkas HaMazon only permits it b'diavad. And if you say it's Rabbi Yossi, I feel the Evan Amilo. He doesn't let you be Yote, even be the Evan. So who authored this last Braisa? So the Gemara says, we're going to try to take it down around 10 lines to the two dots. Liolam Rabbi Yehuda. It must be Rabbi Yehuda. Va'afil l'chachila. He allows you, even l'chachila, to keep the words to yourself. Avalokashi, it's not a problem. Hadi de hadi rabbe. One is Rabbi Yehuda himself, who says l'chachila, you could say things without hearing the words. You could say shema, you could say mafresh truma. But his Rebbe says something different. Tetanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, quoting his Rebbe, he holds, hakori es shema tzarech shiashmi lozno. A person who reads shema has to l'chachila hear what he says. Shenemar shema yisrael shem okenu Hashem echad. Hashmir loznecha masha atamotzi mipicha. Hear in your ears that which you are saying from your mouth. And Rabbi Meir Omer, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Yom Alavavcha Achar Kavanas Halev Hein Hein Hadvarim. And there's other opinion of Rabbi Meir, which we're ignoring just for this moment here. He says you could say things by heart. So right now we have that Rabbi Yossi holds B'dieved, if you don't hear the words, you're not Yotze. Rabbi Yehuda holds, even L'chachila you could say things not listening. And then there's a middle sheet that Rabbi Yehuda's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who holds L'chachila you should hear the words, but B'dieved, if you don't, you're Yotze. But now the Gemara says, now that we've introduced Hashtadasid Lahachi, we've introduced the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who goes after Acher Kavanas Halev, so now you could figure things out differently now. Afilu Tamer Rabbi Yehuda Kirabi. Maybe if Rabbi Yehuda paskins like his own Rebbe, that L'chachile should hear the words, but B'diavad Yotze if you don't, you could still say Sfirle, V'hadatani Rabbi Yehuda Brei Rabbi Shimon Pazi, that other Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda quotes, that's going in the world of Rabbi Meir, who explicitly says that it all goes based on Kavanas Halev, you don't have to articulate the words, even L'chachile. Okay, we will stop here.